Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This summer, L.L. Bean invites you to simply step outside and enjoy the fresh air and sunshine. We'll be your guide with tips and advice to get more out of every moment outdoors. Here's one. Set yourself up for easy backyard adventures by leaving a tote bag with the essentials right by the door. Sunscreen, bug spray, and a few hats or pairs of sunglasses. Now you'll never need to search your house to find them. For more fun ideas, easy how-tos, and inspiring stories, visit llbean.com/guide.
Hard on today. That's not the chance to stay in the Premier League. He melted a bit of Goodison Park, really. Two players sent off. And Brentford got a 3-2 win. And he goes to Palace on Thursday, enormous. It's a game they need to win, otherwise, he goes to the last day. Still a relatively positive atmosphere in the room, and Mason Holgate's over. I've got Paddy next to me. Paddy, what do you reckon about that maybe today? Just red card killed them, didn't they?
Yeah, really frustrating. At 1-0, it felt like the momentum was well with Everton, and they just didn't capitalise on that. There was kind of a minute, I think, that effectively won the game for Brentford and lost it for Everton, with down at the park end. Everton probably should have had a penalty. Then in turn, Grant Waite from the attack gets sent off, and I think that completely changes everything. You can hear now, everyone's booing Michael Oliver, the officials. I'll need to see them again. We've not seen them, have we? So we don't know. The one emotion is frustration, though. It's real frustration, because this could have been done tonight. And at 1-0 up, with 11 men, it felt like it would be done today.
Well, it was like party time, wasn't it? Like everyone was up, everyone was bouncing.
Even at half time. And it was just defend the set pieces, defend the crosses. And they never did that. They never did that. And I think in the end, Brentford did deserve the win.
I put it on eBay on 10 years ago.
Oh, there we go. It's going on to Palace now on Thursday. Horrible. It's a horrible fourth, isn't it? Like, it goes to our last home game of the season. We need 3 points to get over the line. Obviously, Leeds got that last minute equaliser. They barely got beat. Burnley are playing at the same time as us on Thursday.
I mean, Burnley kick off just before us.
It's going to be grim, isn't it? And yeah. It's going to be tense and horrible. But, you know, the fans stay with them at least today. And I mean, I'm a bit speechless there. I don't really know what to say, but, you know,
You can't assess the game as 11-11,
no,
because Brantley gets sent off early into the match, and from then on it's a completely different prospect. Everton are defending, Everton are on the back foot. It is really raw, naive defending from Branthwaite, and I think you see why he's not playing for Everton week in, week out. There have been, obviously throughout the season, lots of calls, given how porous Everton have been at the back, to play somebody like Branthwaite. That was raw. Yeah. It was really raw. There's two of them there, and they still end up letting Ivan Toney get the wrong side of them. And you just think, if they've been a bit of experience in that position today, they go in 1-0 but with 11 men as well, I think ultimately the send-off kills.
Surely in that position, I mean, it's easy to say now for us, isn't it, sat here, but in that split second, surely you're back your keeper, who's been in amazing form for a long time, to make the save. And even if he scores, it's 1-1, you've got 11 men, the crowd are going to stay with you. I mean, we can sit here now and analyse it as much as you want, but it's a young player making a massive mistake in a huge game.
And again, that goes back to experience. That's why he's not playing. But if you've just mentioned a couple of scenarios there. One of them is Everton having 11 men and leading 1-0 at the break if they defend properly. But you'd even rather be in 1-1 at half-time with 11. You're still back. Everton to get a result against this Brentford side, even if it's a draw. Even a draw kind of helps Everton massively. And instead, what we've got is a situation where it goes to Palace. It's still absolutely in Everton's hands. But there's a pressure on them to get a result against Palace. Because we know that going to Arsenal on the final day of the season is really, really tough. So it's just, as it has been so often this season, it's about picking these players up. It's about picking them up and about them going again. Even with sore legs, even with tiredness and fatigue, the fact that Everton have played so many games in a short space of time and haven't effectively, for most of it, had to play catch-up, I think, has come home to roost a little bit. You saw today the side that was out with Branthwaite as centre-back, Holgate, John Joe Kenny coming on in the second half. All this kind of stuff. It's not the Everton you want out on the pitch. It's that there are flaws there. There are failings. There are big gaps. I just saw too many gaps in the second half. I mean, you almost didn't know. Probably looking back on it in hindsight, what they need to do was they need to skew to Brentford's left.
Well, Eriksen was picking the ball up, wasn't he, in like 50 yards of space every time. Yeah. It's like,
but you get that at times, even when you've got 11 men and two in midfield. I've always said I'd much rather Everton be proactive and have the third central midfielder in there, an Iwobi type, just so you can put pressure on Eriksen, just so you can force him potentially into mistakes. He's still a class act. And next season he won't be playing for Brentford. He'll be playing for a side much, much better than Brentford on this evidence. But Everton don't have a player in the ranks like that, do they? And sometimes you see that today. You just see that lack of nous, that lack of guile and quality. We saw it against Watford as well. Watford just being this massive missed opportunity where if they just had anybody like Eriksen to put their foot on the ball and just pick the right pass, they'd have won that game and they'd have won it comfortably. So it's a missed opportunity today as it was against Watford on Wednesday, but they have to pick themselves up. They absolutely have to. They have to look at Wednesday next Thursday, I should say, against Crystal Palace and say, it's still in our hands, it's still an opportunity. If we go and win that game, it's done. It's absolutely done. But even potentially a draw might be good enough. So it is squeaky.
It's horrible,
time,
isn't it?
But
it's horrible.
It's horrible. We wanted it done today, but it is what it is.
Yeah, listen, I would have loved to have done this post-match bit in a Goodison Park, raucous, delighted we stayed up, but it's not the case. We'll have to go again on Thursday. You'll hear us very soon in the Denby Castle. Whatever everybody else has to say about that. But it's Everton 2, Brentford 3. Gutted. Absolutely gutted today. But we press on. We'll speak to you again very, very shortly here on the Blue Room.
I've got plenty of
right, we're back on the Denby now. And we've all seen the Richarlison foul. I've got a lot of people around me. I think Matt Flusker's opting this one out. You don't want to say anything libelous? He's not saying anything. I've got Keith Tomlin, Mark Mosey, Laura Gates.
Sky Sports could have themselves a nice big show on the final day, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, let's just start with it, Mose. What on earth happened there with that refereeing decision? Because I came onto that ground, as I'm sure people would have heard on the post-match there, speaking to Paddy in the ground, thinking that Jared Branthwaite made a big mistake, everything got outplayed, and ultimately deserved to lose that game. But I've seen what happened before that red card, and I feel completely different now.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a foul. You know, any other team, any other minutes in the game, any other situation, any other area of the pitch, it's a foul. And the fact that not only has that deprived Everton of doubling their lead, but it's actually managed to get Jarrod Brombeny sent off, and obviously, you know, lead to everything else that came after that. No part of me thought that that was a game that Everton would get beaten. I think that, honestly, you know, we've all been horrified enough this season to see Everton lose football matches that we really didn't think they would lose. That was top of the list for me today. That, not a great team, no real individual threats that I thought you're going to obviously cause problems. And in the space of not only the refereeing decision, which, you know, we'll obviously look back on, but, you know, we'll look back on many refereeing decisions this season, but in a 5 or 10 minute spell whereby we've managed to hand over a football match that meant so much to us, to a team to which it meant so little, is probably going to haunt me for the next 4 days. None of us wanted to be sitting here or sitting at home looking at a league table that means so much when ultimately it should mean absolutely nothing. Regardless of what Leeds do at Brentford or what Burnley are able to do against Villa or Newcastle, this should be a scenario which is absolutely dealt with at the moment. And, you know, I'll be first in line to point the finger at Michael Oliver, to point the finger at Jarrod Branthwaite or Solomon Rondon, whoever you want to blame for today. But if you are offered the opportunity to go and beat Brentford at home or to go and beat Crystal Palace at home to secure the survival of your entire football club, then it should be an opportunity that you grab with both open hands. And that's whether you're rocking up to a relatively standard Premier League game or whether you're rocking up to one in which 10,000 fans greet you outside the stadium with flares and everything else that meant that the players were fully aware of what today meant to so many people. And, you know, today's game is a weird one, isn't it? It's not one that you look at and think, well, Everton performed so badly that it created result X and that's why we're all sitting here so deflated. It's totally in isolation in terms of, you know, getting two men sent off, conceding two goals in 5 minutes, whatever it was. Everything about it was just so unique and so isolated. But you've got to kind of cast that aside when you're in a situation like we are. If Leeds offer you the opportunity in which going out and beating a already pointless Brentford side, it's a really difficult one. And something I spoke about with Rob during the week is that today was, I think the fact that I'm so deflated at the moment is because I thought that today was such a, on a grander scale, a much bigger opportunity than what Crystal Palace on Thursday means to us. That the prospect of going into Thursday needing something scares me, because, you know, I appreciate that Leeds go to a Brentford side that we've all been fortunate to watch today have been capable of scoring 3 goals. Burnley go to an Aston Villa side who are probably just equally as pointless as what Brentford are today. It all seems to mean a lot more to Everton than what it does to any other team around us at the moment. And that's dangerous. The prospect of us being the biggest team in this whole thing scares me a little bit. And, you know, me and Rob spoke in the week about Wilfred Zaha as a Elise, Gallagher, all of these players who are so dangerous when you afford them the opportunity, the freedom, and most importantly, the fear of Goodison Park. You know, we got to 25 minutes out, a 3-2 down, and there was a tangible sense of loss in those four sides of Goodison Park, wasn't there, in terms of what everything meant to us. And I guarantee you on Thursday night, if it gets to that point again, we will feel that fear, and Crystal Palace will feel absolutely none of that, and they'll feel all of the opportunity that 45 or 90 minutes or whatever it is has to afford to them. And that's what scares me about Thursday night, that potential for us to be the creator of our own demise. And, you know, we will potentially and hopefully sit here in 4 days' time being that team who were able to dig themselves out of this mess. I don't now see that team who are able to do that for themselves. And the prospect of sitting here hoping that other teams will do that for us is petrifying, absolutely petrifying. And I don't expect favours from anyone. Burnley, Leeds, any team that they oppose, they'll do us absolutely nothing. And anyone who has known Everton Football Club in their entire existence knows that we will have to do this ourselves, and that is potentially disastrous.
Laura, Mark's terrified. Are you terrified?
I don't even know how I'm going to follow Mark after that, to be honest. I mean, he summarised everything perfectly. I was one of these people that the other night after sort of Watford, like, you know, a point against Watford was not the end of the world after beating Leicester away and coming out of that with 4 points. But now I'm sitting here like properly deflated. I'm feeling like those 3 points against Watford, we would have been in a much better position, obviously. I can't even bear to look at the table and start sort of cross analysing everything that's going on and who's got who next and how we're going to perform against Palace, because I just, to be honest, I feel sick at the thought of all of it. Obviously we know refereeing decisions this season have been questionable. Hope I don't get a fine for saying that, to be fair. If I start questioning the referees,
I don't think the FA listen to this.
They give a shit, do they? No. But it's just time and time again, I feel like that just happens, and I don't want to be one of these people that's sitting there with like the tinfoil hat on, like refereeing decisions aren't the be-all and end-all and stuff, but it does change a game today when we could have potentially been looking at being 2-0 up. And then obviously, I mean, before kick-off as well, seeing that sort of back four with Branthwaite and Holgate at centre-back did scare me a bit. I mean, Brentford aren't a bad side. I mean, they're not the best, but obviously having Eriksen as well. Yeah, I mean, I just, it's so deflating sitting here. Like, I can't even describe that atmosphere coming out of Goodison then. Like, I was waiting for my mate after the game, and I bumped into my mum, and I wasn't even due to meet my mum tonight, and she literally just walked past me, shrugged and was like, yeah, that's what it is, and just walked off. Like, she didn't even stop and talk or anything. It was just like, we gave each other a look, and we're like, you know, we've got to go on to Palace on Thursday now, and just almost hope for the best at this point. Like, I feel so deflated, especially after, like, we went to the coach welcome before the game, and it was such a boss atmosphere.
It was amazing.
Yeah, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Like, we bumped into so many people we know from, like, Twitter and away games that we've met before, and we were having it. Do you know what? It almost felt like an away day in itself. The sun was shining. Like, the sun was shining. We were all having a laugh and a bevy, and everyone, you know, the smoke flares and everything going on. And then you come out of Goodison and you think the absolute, like, the flip of that is unbelievable. Even the weather had changed to that point. Like, it was so, like, I just hope it does not go to Arsenal at the end of the season. I can't. I just can't see us. If we go to Arsenal, I can't see us getting anything there.
Got Keith as well. Keith, how are you feeling, mate? Do you want to talk about Everton's play, the performance, the referee? Where do you want to start?
I'm all right. I'm just going to stage an intervention for Mark and, like, stop him jumping off a roof at the moment.
Like, he needs one right now,
Literally, do you know what, right? If a referee makes a correct decision, Everton are 2-0 up with 10 minutes till half-time, and Brentford don't come out second half, and the game's done, and we're safe.
But he doesn't, and that's right. Sort of where we are now, isn't it? Like,
I mean,
we need him to make the correct decision.
It's where we are, and yes, there's points to pick up from that game. There's a lot of negatives to pick out of that game. For me, Frank Lampard got it wrong massively by not making a change at half-time and going defensive. Bring Alan on, even for 45 minutes. Sit in that hole, break everything up. Their two goals don't come if he's on the park, because they both started in the centre of the pitch where he is ready to break the play up, right? Doucouré's 10 yards away. Gomez is back in Portugal necking Malbec, right? The pair of them are miles off the pace. Those goals don't come if you've got a proper destructive force in there, right? So you learn from your mistakes and you move on. One thing I will say about Frank Lampard is when he's made mistakes in the past, he has learned from them. So hopefully he learns from today and we move on to Thursday night. I'm not, right, I say I'm not, I'm probably the worst doom and gloom merchant going at times, but I'm choosing to stay positive. Everton have got 180 minutes of football to save their own season. Literally, one win from two, and it does not matter what other teams do, right? Palace are on the beach, so you go out, you beat Palace on Thursday night, and we can have a weekend off. That's all there is to it. Go out and beat Palace. If Everton bring the same intensity that they brought to that first half today, they will absolutely stroll it on Thursday night, right? I know there's lots of shouts about Palace being a bogey team, and oh, we've got to deal with suspensions and whatnot, right?
Well, neither of those lads are going to be missed, Albie, let's be honest.
Not massively, although Rondon, God bless him, the big slob, I'd rather have him up front than Calvert-Lewin at the moment, because I'm going to throw this out here as a negative. That is an absolute 0 out of 10 performance. I know that he's...
Did he score?
I know that, well, I know that he's scored in the ball... Right.
Him, by the way.
The ball might have touched his shirt on the way in, and he's claimed it, and he's fully gone for claiming it as well, because I mean he's a striker and that's what strikers do. Strikers claim the goals, but he was absolutely rancid today. Did not look interested in the slightest. Whereas you look at Anthony Gordon, especially when we went down to 10 men, was making 60-yard sprints to close down fullbacks and wingers until he came off. Came off dead on his feet. Calvert-Lewin, I don't think, broke a sweat. Genuinely. The sooner we sell him for whatever we can get, the better.
Yeah,
He can fuck off for me, Keith. To be honest. All right. I've always been hesitant about Calvert-Lewin because I think I wasn't the only fan who went kind of all in on the fact that he was probably not all that initially. And, you know, I'm trying not to be impulsive here. He had two fantastic seasons. You know, Evans' most prolific goal scorer by an absolute country mile. But we said in the week that there's a massive feeling that Everton are doing everything positive at the moment, despite him and not because of him. And yeah, I totally get it if Michael Oliver does the right thing today, gives the shots and the penalty, Calvert-Lewin plays the whole game up front, and we ride that game out with ease, and we're probably talking about someone who just came in and did a great job for us. That's the way football works, but there is a massive, massive asterisk by his name at the moment when he's on the team sheet, in that he's probably not going to give you everything, and that for a team like us at the moment who are devoid on quality but high on passion, there is a necessity that your entire body has to be given to this football club, and I am not convinced by him in the slightest. And he's not the reason we got beat today.
I don't think he's the only one today. I think Gomez as well.
No. I'll say he's not the reason why Everton are 16th in the league. They haven't won today's game. They haven't secured their security. Whatever it is, he is not the sole purpose of this. But I get the frustration that Keith obviously feels, in that when you are essentially carrying people, be it 11 men or 9 men, it feels like there's an enormous void up front at the moment. And, you know, Richarlison is obviously comfortable in terms of filling that void, in terms of running and passion and hard work. But there was a glimpse of the Calvert-Lewin that we know in the first half, in the terms of he essentially did nothing but apparently got his name on the team sheet. That's the type of central striker that we've craved for so many years. It's hard now to come away from that without thinking, what else did we really gain? What else did we learn from this striker? Again, on an individual basis, I don't think he's the only one he can point the finger at and say that, you know, this is the reason why this particular scenario has evolved. But it's a bitter pill to swallow, and it's a difficult scenario for Evertonians and for Calvert-Lewin at the moment, because when you've got that kind of horizon of the prospects of moving on to something better and to something bigger, then questions are always going to be asked about your level of commitment to the team. And it's horrible at the moment, because I think if this was a season whereby Everton had kind of secured everything they needed to 2 or 3 games ago, no one would really resent this lad for moving on and cracking on with his career. But there's a very bitter pill that needs to be swallowed by someone here, and it seems as though Dominic Calvert-Lewin is going to be that guy. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's you. It's fucking you for supporting him for so long. But no, I, again, people who supported Dominic Calvert-Lewin for so long should not point the finger in any direction. And equally, people like me who've been semi-skeptical should not be pointing the finger back at people like you who said this lad is capable of scoring bags of goals, because we've seen that is obviously the capability of this footballer. But today is not a day to judge people like that, because it's never going to be about the goal scorers or about the creative mentality of this team, because at the point where you go down to 10 men and then down to 9 men, everything about what this day should have been goes totally out of the window. And I think that's the disappointing part for someone like me, who is entirely optimistic about this day, is that everything that I thought that today should be, and about a relatively informed Everton team against a relatively on the beach Brentford team, should be. It should have been a comfortable Goodison Park, sunny day, quintessential Everton home win. And that's been taken away from us by not only the mediocre performance of our team, but the shite performance of a Premier League official who is not the only one this season who seems to be intent on relegating this pathetic football club. And that's what really gets to me.
I've got Matt Luskers ready to say things that aren't libelous now. So, Matt, do you want to say? He's got 2 pairs of sunglasses on, so I'm excited for this point.
2 shades, he only wears 2 shades. He only wears 2 shades. He only wears 2 shades.
Don't panic is the main message. We've got 2 games. Leeds have only got 1 game now. Leeds need to win their last game against Brentford. We only need to win 1 of 2. Obviously, one of them is Arsenal, but one is against Palace. And let's be honest, when have we ever needed the midweek win against Palace? It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be great. Sunshine and rainbows. Up the toffees. Thank you, Frankie Lampard is going to take us to the glorious heights of 16th place.
I can't believe you said those words about that Palace game all those years ago.
I was in no way panicked until Matt Fuss looked me in the eye and said, don't panic.
You've spent the last 15 minutes doing nothing but panicking.
You started this. Before Burnley, you started this.
Literally, you have just had an existential crisis live on air. You cannot say you weren't panicking.
I mean, give me the opportunity to panic.
Are you panicking, Keith?
Not in the slightest. We went on Thursday. Like, realistically, I wanted to have Thursday night off. I was excited about having Thursday night off, right? But Everton went on Thursday. I'm not even arsed. I'll tell you that now. Everton will win on Thursday, right? It might be 1-0, maybe 2-1. It might be dead scrappy. Matt's got 3 pairs of sunglasses on now, right? Have you?
I can't see.
Right, you cannot look past a man with 3 pairs of sunglasses. You just can't do it. And for that reason, if no other, Everton are staying up. Going down, are we? Fuck. Beat Palace, staying up.
Laura, how are you feeling about it all?
Worse after listening to Keith. Fucking hell. I don't trust that man. No, I honestly can't. We have to win on Thursday. That's like, we have to. I can't have it going down to Arsenal on the last day. 3 days before my birthday, my fella's an Arsenal fan, no thank you. He'll be packing his bags as soon as. We've just got to win, but I just...
What do they need to do better on Thursday than they did today to get over the line in that game?
What have we got to do better?
Yeah.
Have a referee that's on our side and not have 2 players sent off? That's like... I don't have any words for it, to be honest. That's literally it. Just... No.
It's hard. I mean, it's a when you said then, what could we do better? There's a lot of me today that looks at the way that we set up. I appreciate that we've only got 20 minutes to assess this, but the way that we set up with 11 men at the start of the game, for me, was the right way to go about this. And it's very hard to take anything away from today's game and say we could have done this better. You know, I appreciate that Frank Lampard will come under scrutiny for not being slightly more pragmatic, not being slightly more realistic in terms of bringing on whoever it was who he thought that was capable of being a little bit more defensive. Today is probably one of those games that, as an Evertonian, we've seen so many of them in recent years where you've just got to hold your hands up and say that probably doesn't happen to any other team apart from Everton. You, unfortunately, you can't afford two of those in a row. At Palace, it has to be. It's probably going to be three at the back again. You know, with your wing-backs.
Got no defenders. No defenders left, to be fair.
That's a great point. I don't know where Michael Keane was, but someone will be able to shed a bit of light on that in the week. But I don't necessarily think we can afford to go full-on Goodison Park at home aggression Everton in order to... It really can't be like that, because we'll get picked off and we'll get punished. We got punished today by a team who are essentially pointless for the next 4 or 5 months. Wilfred Zaha, Eze, all of these people that we mentioned previously, they will take the piss out of our entire starting 11. And that's just the way that Crystal Palace are, and that's the way that Everton are. I'm not trying to incite fear. I'm not trying to say that I've got no confidence in the Everton team that have provided so much faith in the last few weeks. But sitting here right now, I'm feeling all of the bad things that Everton are capable of as opposed to all of the good things. And I don't think that that's a massive overreaction. That's just because I've been cultured to think the worst by this football club, and that's all that people of my generation unfortunately have got to go off. You know, the prospect of needing a win, which for my money, willing Burnley to get beat twice, willing Leeds to not go and beat Brentford, I've got no faith from a Everton that mentality that those teams aren't capable of those things. And that's why I'm sitting here pretty scared at the moment.
We'll have to do it ourselves.
That's probably the element scary. That scares me most.
It's very scary. We'll leave it there today. Keith, any more to add, mate, before we shoot off?
Just roll on Thursday. Thursday night, just get out and win. And then it's done with. And we can have a weekend off. We can enjoy it. Right? Let's ignore the fact that Moses having...
He's having an actual breakdown here.
Do you know what? I reckon we're going to have to have an intervention for him. Right? At the end of the day, we had a great chance today and we fucked it. We got another chance Thursday and we won't. Right? And that'll be that. And then we can just write it off for the summer and come back in August and go again. Right? Up the fucking toffees.
Do you want to do the sign off for the show?
Do you know what? I'll sign this off. So, this has been your post-match Everton versus Brentford. Take solace in your loved ones, because it's a nice thing to do. Give somebody a hug, pet a stray dog, and just try and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll go again on Thursday. Good night. God bless.
I'm a veterinarian, sure, but I'm way more than that. I am also a tango dancer, a struggling but determined pie maker, and a mom. With IndieVets, I get to choose when and where I work. I create my own schedule and choose shifts at nearby animal hospitals that are right for me. Having that flexibility is exactly what I need to have plenty of time for all those other things that I am. Because I'm more than just a vet. Visit IndieVets.com to learn more and apply.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.